All right, welcome back to Shakedown Chan. I hope you all had a good few weeks. I was MIA last week because I was out in Woodstock doing a beautiful hike. It was actually very foggy. We couldn't see anything at the top, but it was a really good hike. We took Rothbard. He loves to be on the trails off his leash, roaming around and everything. He's pretty good.
They're meant for that.
Yeah, definitely. He's not a good leash walker. He's the kind of dog that pulls very, very hard and doesn't walk well on a leash. He does a lot better off of it. He'll just stay near us, come back when we call him. Doesn't go off the trail at all.
Yeah.
So it was neat. And then this was the one where at the top of the mountain, there's that abandoned hotel thing that burnt down a few times.
Right.
And so he got to explore that a little. He liked that. Climbing upstairs and everything. And at the top of the mountain, we were so lucky that he rolled around in a dead animal.
Oh, my. Yeah, they love smells that we can't stand.
Yeah, and so I had to deal with that the car ride back.
Oh.
It was gross. It was so gross. We gave him, like, two baths.
And
still smelled. But, it was a really good hike. It was a good time. We stopped in at Woodstock Brewery. We did this hike last year, this time last year. And we went to Woodstock Brewery then, too, and they were just, like, new, kind of. And also the power was knocked out because it was, remember those big wind storms?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had no power last time, so they only had, like, two beers that the generator could keep cold. And they didn't have food either, and now they have food, and the power was on. And we played Battleship and chess and
had
a good time. And then we went to R&R Tap Room. That's in the town of Woodstock, like right in town. They have really, really good food. And we had a bartender who looked like a 70s serial killer.
Really?
Like, kind of gave me, like, Ted Bundy vibes. Like, he had, like, the 70s kind of hair with, like, the big glasses.
Yep.
And he was really awkward, like,
well, we're talking about Woodstock in the 60s. I mentioned to you before because I almost went to Woodstock, but they celebrated their 50th anniversary this year, and I think in the summertime, and they're not going to have any celebration. I guess the backer pulled out, kind of sad, really, because 50 years is a long time for an event that
was huge
back
so
then big. Was huge, and they had, like, the best music of the time, and it was really something. But so that's a bummer, but I'm glad he had a good time, and I want to take a minute to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, I mean, you got a great son, and Noah isn't here today.
No, he's not here today.
But,
he's,
you know,
at home with Rothbard.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, they're hanging out today. So Woodstock was good. For Mother's Day, we did the Tulip Festival for
down
a little
Albany.
Bit. Yep, we were there for all of, like, an hour and a half before we left because it was crazy.
How were
we
the
actually
tulips?
Left because we had something to do, but they were pretty.
Yeah.
There was just way too many people.
Yeah.
I felt really claustrophobic. And, like, walking around all the vendors and stuff, there was just, it was, like, shoulder-to-shoulder foot traffic, and it just...
Now, is that inside or outside?
It's outside.
Yeah, I was going to say, because if it's real cold, they don't open up on time, but...
No, it was really beautiful out. We had, like, a nice little Mother's Day brunch at Joey's sister's house, and it was really nice. It came together really nice. She made some good food. And we had a good time. And then we headed out for the Tulip Fest. And, at brunch, we didn't have mimosas. We had mamosas.
Mamosas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That was nice.
It was nice. And then today's back to rainy, cold weather.
Oh, my gosh, I know. And then tomorrow it's supposed to rain.
Yay.
It's supposed to get colder again this week, in the 40s as high.
Ew.
And I don't know what's going on.
Mm.
You know, we're just in a weather pattern that is bringing a lot of moisture across the country, which some of the areas need it, but some of the areas are getting flooded. Texas had some floods, but what are you going to do? This is the time of the year.
Yeah. let's see. Speaking of what are we going to do? What are we going to do with these presidential candidates that we have?
Get rid of them all.
Get rid of them all. No election this year. We're just free for all.
That's right.
Just let the chaos break loose for a little bit and it'll settle down after.
Yeah, it'll settle down next spring, I think, when they start having their debates and stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited for the debates.
There's a combination of polls. And like we were talking before the show, polls don't mean anything right now. And but Joe Biden has like 40-some percent, and Bernie Sanders has like 18.
I don't even think he's going to be running yet. I don't think he hasn't officially announced.
Maybe not.
I think everyone thinks he's running, yeah. But he hasn't come out and said...
Oh, he hasn't?
No, that he's actually running. It's kind of like up in the air.
Well, maybe if he's... Well, you know, though, he made a comment the other day, and he says, you know, Joe Biden's billing himself as a progressive candidate, and he says, who's more progressive, him or myself? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what? And he's not really progressive, Bernie Sanders. He's just a socialist. I mean, you know, yeah, and that's not being progressive. That's just giving the whole store away, and, you know.
Right.
But, you know, they don't consider themselves... wealthy, when in fact they are. I mean, the mm-hmm. two richest people in the Senate and Congress are Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein. They have more money than probably all the other members of Congress and Senate put together. They were saying that in Nancy Pelosi's, she lives in a very rich section of San Francisco.
Yeah,
and it's like gated community. And
guarded.
But they said if
but
you go...
But they're open borders.
Yeah,
open borders. But yeah, they live in a gated community.
Six blocks away, there's all the homeless people live, you know, for blocks and blocks. But six blocks away from her place, and the sewage and the street and all that. Mm-hmm. So the fellow that was on the radio show talking, he says, you know, they talk a big game. They want everybody else to pay for things. Why don't they give... They can give $1 million away each, and that won't even affect them because they're billionaires. And he said, and then they can build a shelter where these, you know, put 1,000 cots in it, and these people can sleep at night, and then maybe even have a warm meal once a day. And he said, but no, they want the people to pay for it, the government.
Right, and then they'll just get out of paying the taxes right. for it. Right. And leave it to us. Yep. Yeah. So Elizabeth Warren, she has an opioid plan. It's $100 billion. It would go to treatment, providing support, and funding for research of over a decade. So, sounds good to most people that mm-hmm. have been affected by opioids or know people like, oh my God, that's great, you're tackling it. But... I read there was some concern that this is just another, like, promise that won't be fulfilled because a lot of people are like, we'll tackle the opioid crisis, and then they never do anything about it. And that's because, I mean, government is in on the big pharma thing.
Right.
Subsidizing, giving tax breaks, and pushing for different pharmaceutical stuff. And so Elizabeth Warren does call out Big Pharma, and she goes, she calls them out, but she doesn't call out the fact that government is in on it mm-hmm. with them at all. She just calls out the pharmaceutical industries and wants to handcuff and perp walk all of the pharmaceutical executives, and fails to mention anything about government having any... being any part of the issue here. But she wants to bypass all state governments and prosecute all these pharmaceutical industries on a federal level. And her plan to pay for all of this is by taxing, go figure, taxing the ultra millionaires.
Yeah.
What is an ultra millionaire? Is it a billionaire?
I don't know. But if you're taking 75% of their worth away, and then you want to tax them on top of that for the, you know, government programs are no good.
No.
And the main reason is because they throw so much money at a government program. And when it doesn't work, they think they can throw more money on it.
This will make it never work.
And that's been going on since the 60s. I mean, they keep throwing money upon money into these programs. It doesn't work. And they don't do what they should be doing.
And the reason it doesn't work is because it is the government. So they're putting a monopoly on this service, mm-hmm. which means there's no incentive to make it work or right. to make it do well or do what it's supposed to do. Whereas if private companies were to tackle these things, mm-hmm. These issues like helping people get food and housing and stuff like that, there are private companies working on this, they would have incentives to do better than the other person trying to get food for poor families.
Right.
But when the government's doing it, it's slow. It's inefficient. There's no competition. If they're not helping you the way you think they should be, you can't go anywhere else
no.
for help.
And they throw money on the fire and it doesn't get better.
No, they're always like, okay, government isn't doing good, so government's the problem. How are we going to fix it? More government. It doesn't make sense. If you are the problem to something, are you going to fix it by putting yourself out there more? Like if you're a problem in a situation with another person, are you going to fix it by egging them on more? Mm-hmm. No. You're going to remove yourself from the situation and that should fix it.
Sure.
Which also is funny that you brought that up because she said, addiction is a medical problem, so it needs a medical solution, which yeah. is exactly what I just said. With if government's the problem, we need more government. A lot of people seem to just follow that mindset. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the problem. Let's do more of it.
The government can pull us out of it.
Right. I mean, OxyContin was pretty much banned, mm-hmm. but it ended up being replaced with something 7 to 10 times stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the article that they had there that I was reading. And so that just made the problem worse.
Worse.
So I don't see how if the medical industry is the problem, I don't see how the medical industry is going to solve it.
Well, first of all, what's the government doing to stop? And it's a huge problem. The drugs coming over the border. What are they doing about it? Nothing, because the Democrats don't want to do anything that might give President Trump the slightest thing that he can say, look, that, you know, we've stopped the drug traffic, or we've helped slow it down. They'd rather let it go and people pay the price. Now I see that, and this is unbelievable.
Well, they're in on a lot of the drug smuggling.
Oh, I know it.
Who was it that, I can't remember, who was president that was in on the whole cocaine smuggling into the states and then setting it up with people to buy them and then arresting all these people for it?
Wasn't that
Clinton? I don't remember.
To make himself look really good.
But they're the reason why, they're a lot of the reason why people are arrested for drugs. And they're behind a lot of the drugs coming over here. Of course they're not going to stop it. They don't want to get caught in this.
No. Well, it's like, and they're Democrats. I'm sorry to have to say that. And I'm not a Republican, but they don't, I mean, they got really irritated when the court said that you have to put on whether you're a citizen or not on the census. They didn't want that question on there because more people in their districts means more money that they get and more votes that they get.
More electoral college votes.
Right. And, I mean, New York wanted to, they may end up doing it because it's controlled the House and Assembly, give illegals a driver's license. So now they, they're letting them do things which creates problems instead of solving things. Now, President Trump did something the other day he made President Obama's Homeland Security guy head of ICE, because the guy wants to stop a lot of this stuff that's coming in at the borders. And I mean, you know, who would have thought? But I know the government's in on a lot of this stuff. And look, we sent, and what is it, under Eric Holder, we sent rifles down, or weapons down south. What was it, Fast and Furious?
Or I don't remember.
Yeah, it was a program where we just sent, I mean, a ton of AK-40s and all these arms to a country down in Mexico and South America. And I mean, you know, it was covert, but they ended up finding out about
it. Was it Venezuela?
Nothing ever happened. Probably.
We were just involved in an attempted coup in Venezuela.
Right.
Which is, I don't want to go to war in Venezuela. But no, I don't want to go to war. It looks like that's what they're trying to do.
But the guy that's trying to overthrow the person in there won the election. All right? And he wants to get rid of the guy that's in there. The guy won't give up the place. Venezuela used to be one of the richest countries in the world.
And then it went socialist.
The people have everything. Yeah, then it went socialist. And what's the first thing that they did? They closed down all the gun shops in the country. They went in homes and took guns away from the people. Then they had an election, and I don't know what he is, but he's more moderate. He won the election, and this socialist won't give up the power, and the army's backing him. So the people still have nothing.
And I don't know. It's not our place to be in.
No, it's not our place to be in. But, I mean, this is what can happen to us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's an example.
It's a very real-time example.
Yeah.
I feel like we're so far removed from socialism, as far as, like, the Soviet Union goes and everything, that, mm-hmm. like, my generation forgets to think about that.
Yeah.
But Venezuela is a prime example right now of what can happen when you allow socialism. And I feel like it's not talked about enough. The media won't cover it.
And the thing is that, you know, history always repeats itself.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
people don't pay attention to history.
They don't learn. Speaking of the gun laws, Kamala Harris, nut job. They all are. All of these politicians, nut jobs. So Kamala Harris has come out to say, we're not at a lack of good ideas. We're at a lack of Congress having the courage to do something about it. Which, I don't know what you guys think, but sounds like she's trying to say Congress doesn't have the courage to be unconstitutional and take our guns away. And, mm-hmm. like, infringe on our rights. They don't have the courage to do so. I wouldn't have the courage either, Kamala. She says if she wins the election, she would take executive action immediately if Congress won't pass what she demands. I'm not sure, like, what her idea is. I haven't really heard too much about, like, her gun law stances. But I just know the way she's talking about it. She wants to take certain rights away from it, or probably ban more guns. But her immediately to her is 10 days. And to the next thing I want to talk about, where she goes, she says the Trump administration standoff with Congress is a potentially constitutional crisis. In a second. But she calls that a potential constitutional crisis, but she fails to notice or realize that her immediately taking executive action if Congress won't pass what she demands of going against the Constitution to take guns away or ban more guns, she doesn't recognize that as a constitutional crisis.
Right. I know.
It's so hypocritical.
To eliminate the Constitution is not a constitutional crisis. These people
try to take this constitutional right away, that's not a constitutional crisis. But the Trump administration not wanting to reveal every single little detail in the Mueller report, even though he was found not guilty, mm-hmm. of collusion, is a constitutional crisis.
Right.
But not taking your Second Amendment rights away.
Well, you know, and that's funny because, I mean, I don't think anybody, I don't think anybody will ever take our Second Amendment rights away. People are too strong about that. But the...
They keep chipping away here.
I know, they do. But I think... See, I think there's going to be a turnover again in the next election because they did a poll and 85% of the people don't agree with what Congress is doing right now and what these people are saying. So what's that going to mean? It's going to mean in the moderate areas that they elected these Democrats, I think they're going to vote them out of office because they really thought they would be doing something different than what they did when they got in office.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see more moderates in there, and I think that'll
end up doing is worrying about what Trump's doing.
Oh, that's it.
About the collusion, and now they're butthurt that it didn't go the way they wanted it to.
That's right. They can't do anything but talk about that. And, you know, you had mentioned the Mueller report. They were yelling and screaming about the 19 pages that they didn't get. Well, they ended up getting the 19 pages in the full report, and they didn't know it because they haven't read the Mueller report. And the only redactions in there are people that have to go in front of a grand jury. And it is against the law for anybody to see that information. That's why it's redacted. And Congress wants to see that. So it's like the Attorney General said, if you see that, I'm going to have to arrest every person that saw it. And he said, do you want to be arrested? Just let me know. And they're just, we're not getting anything done.
Well, I just don't see what the big deal is because he was found not guilty. And even if he was, collusion's not a crime.
No.
And so many politicians collude with other people.
Well, sure they do.
And I mean, it's whatever. But I don't understand why it's a huge deal because, well, I know what they're trying to do. They want to see every single little detail so they can get something to make Trump look bad so they can go on and on about that and try to get his ratings down. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't care what he did maybe 10 years ago. I know he's a shady person. We all know he's a shady person. I don't care if it doesn't have to do with what he's doing in the president's office right now. Why does it matter?
Right.
And why do you need to know? And we've got better things to worry about. And
bigger things than what?
They need something to hit him with. They're just looking and they're not going to get anything.
Well, like his income taxes. They want 10 years of it. He wasn't even president.
No.
7 years ago.
No.
But the thing, you know, that it's like you say, I like President Trump. I don't like to hear him speak because he drives me nuts. I don't like his tweets because they drive me nuts. But I like what he's doing as president. I mean, the country, there's not enough jobs with the people that are looking for him now because there's so less people on unemployment. And, I mean, everything's going good. But I still don't like the way he talks. I mean, you know, he drives me crazy at these rallies. But as the job as president, I don't think we've had one.
I just feel like he's another president. He's done some things I agree with, some things I don't agree with.
Right.
But not enough to
kick him out of office.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to. I don't see any reason to impeach him. But I mean, I don't agree with his war stuff that he's doing. He's not pulling out like he wanted to because he really wanted to, but then, you know, other people convince him to stay, mm-hmm. or whatever, because that's how it goes, because there these other politicians are in there for the money, and it's just not as big of an issue as we all hoped he would have made it. So I'm upset about that, but I mean, he's not He's not Hitler.
Right. He's not. And he's not trying to infringe the Constitution.
I mean, if anything, these democratic socialists are the Hitlers. Because I don't know if a lot of people realize, but Nazi was from the National Socialist Party.
Okay.
That's where it comes from. The National Socialist Party, they ended up turning their name into Nazis later on. But it was the socialists who, and the communists who became the Nazi dictators.
That's right. Like, and who did they
started by banning books and language and speech. And that's exactly what the left is doing with the saying we can't offend people and we have to have certain terminology.
Right.
And
well, you can't read Tom Sawyer in school because of Joe was a black man.
And it says some other words.
Right. Like, and I mean, but that's
when you start banning books, that's a huge, huge sign that you're going in the wrong direction.
Right.
Banning books, banning speech.
Well, banning speech just, that they used 200 years ago. I mean,
right? It's part of
that was part history. Of their culture. That was the way they were back then. You can't ban
censoring
any, right.
things, censoring content on social media. I wouldn't care if social media was like truly privately owned and everything, but we all know government has got their hands in the pockets of so many social media sites that it's not truly privately owned. Mm-hmm. The government's got a lot of say in it, and for them to be censoring it is wrong. I don't agree with it. And yes, many libertarians, private company, whatever. I was just listening to Dave Smith talk about this, and I agree with him a lot on this topic, that yes, private company, whatever, yeah, they have government hands in it, they shouldn't be doing it, but we are allowed as people to protest what we don't agree in. Even say, mm-hmm. say like a cake shop is denying cakes to gay couples or whatever, right. They have a right to do that. But if you think it's wrong, you should definitely be out there protesting it, but right. don't ask for the government to get involved with it.
Oh, no, but, right.
Yeah, so these socialists were actually the Nazis, banning the books, banning speech, beating people up that say certain things wrong, and that's what's happening here, too. Beating people up that tout Trump's Make America Great Again.
Right.
Like, that's wrong. I don't care if you don't agree with it. You're not supposed to initiate violence on peaceful people, and
or people that work for him. They follow right. him to restaurants, yeah.
Then the Nazis were taking away guns and stuff, and that's exactly what the left wants to do. And so everyone's shouting. Everyone on the left was shouting, "Oh, Trump is the next Hitler," and blah 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 blah. And it's like, how much mental gymnastics did you have to do to say that? Because if you look at it, really, your Bernie Sanders is the next Hitler.
Right.
Or
Cortez.
Or Cortez.
I mean,
or Kamala Elizabeth Harris. Warren. Or I mean, Elizabeth Warren.
They want to take money away from the citizens. I mean, and a lot of it away from the citizens and control the money and control the economy. So what happens? People don't have money. They're easily
And the Nazis favored social welfare programs and everything. And it's just, how do you not see this?
You know, you wonder if it's they see it and this is what they want.
Well, I don't think power. I don't honestly don't think in school the phrase National Socialists and Nazis get correlated to each other, because I just recently learned that and I was like mind blown. Like, I had no idea.
But you read about it. You didn't, I mean, you weren't taught that in school.
I wasn't taught that in school. I don't know what they're doing now or if other schools teach that. But I mean, it is government indoctrination center, and democracy is actually favorable by socialists. because it's easy to rig and get the people you want into power and everything like that, mm-hmm. and influence people with propaganda. But I never remember learning about that. Maybe I did and didn't pay attention, but I did fairly well in school, so
I'm now what, pretty sure what history did that. They teach? Because you're not, I mean, you're I've been out of school for a while, but not too far removed. What kind of history did they teach? Did they teach a lot of American history and well, go back?
In middle school, they did world history. And then in high school, in 9th and 10th grade, you did global history. Like in 9th grade, you started from like Mesopotamia mm-hmm. and went up to almost like I think you went up to like the Roman and Empire and then the Ottoman Empire mm-hmm. or something like that. And then in 10th grade, you did like Enlightenment, French Revolution.
Okay, so that's like the 1300s, 1400s.
And went up to like the colonization of America, okay. but you didn't learn much about American history. And then in 11th grade, you did U.S. history. So you learned like all this older Eastern first. Hemisphere stuff first, right. and then ended that with the colonization, mm-hmm. and then picked up American history okay. and learned about that. And then in 12th grade, you could take
like current events or economics. Something like that. Oh, economics.
I don't know. I did a college class for like public speaking and economics, so I didn't have to take whatever they were taking. So I'm not sure.
Okay, but what did you feel that you learned enough history to kind of give you a sense of like what happened up to the point you were in school, like World War II, how the Germans got to be a Nazi state. I mean, did they explain that or did they just kind of gloss over that stuff?
I actually got really lucky in 10th grade when we learned about that. I had a teacher who I think may be libertarian. Like looking back on my high school experience, mm-hmm. I think because the way he taught us was very different from the way I learned about like the Holocaust in sixth grade or something. Mm-hmm. But he never, I don't ever remember like National Socialists being involved okay. in that, but he did tell us about how Hitler rose to power. He was this guy who had these ideas and he blamed it on these people and like got people on board with that and everything, and yeah, they must be the problem or whatever. Like they just needed someone to blame and they found people to blame, and he did kind of go into depth more with it
yeah.
than I think most people did.
No, that's good.
But I remember doing, I had my college course in 12th grade with him. We were learning about markets and mm-hmm. stuff and the laissez-faire and the supply and demand stuff, and he was really good with that, and he was very free market, and so that's why I think he's more libertarian leaning.
Okay.
Because just the way he taught about markets and stuff like that, and the way he went more in depth in global class mm-hmm. about things. In ninth grade global, I don't really get like in depth explanations. We just kind of like textbook gloss over everything. But he was like made sure to really hit home with things and learning about like the Enlightenment and stuff, because that's where a lot of libertarian stuff comes out of, is the Enlightenment. And when he taught us about the socialist movements and everything, mm-hmm. he really made like the libertarian aspects stand out rather than the socialist aspects, and made them look really, really bad. And so I got lucky with that, but I don't think that's how most
teach it. No, it doesn't sound like it.
No, he was interesting. He made us read Animal Farm.
Okay.
And that is a great book to read. Have you read it?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you've read Animal Farm.
George Orwell, yeah.
Yep. So a lot of people don't. That's not taught in a lot of schools. It's actually banned in some schools.
I can imagine, because there's too much of a correlation with what you can yeah. make with our government.
That's what it is. But yeah, I got really, really lucky with that. And so I just don't see how people don't make the connection. I think of a lot of it has to do with how we're taught about the Nazis and their political state.
And I don't think, you know,
most people really come out of history class with is they were bad. They killed all the Jews.
Yeah.
And they don't really get the finer details. Well,
we talk about Jews that were exterminated and basically killed. But, you know, there were, I think it was between 3 and 4 million Catholics that were.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just
because
them.
he studied to be a priest. And then he went nuts, and I think he got kicked out of the seminary. So he, anybody that did anything with the guy he hated, and he wanted to make an Aryan nation where the German, he had to be blonde-haired, blue-eyed,
yeah,
and
your
stuff,
nose had to be the certain shape and size and everything. But he was psychopath.
he maybe even worse than that. I mean, if you can't even say the name without people cringing, but it's amazing how many Germans still think it didn't happen.
Right.
I was at my cousin's wedding years ago, and we sat next to their
neighbor. You can't deny
neighbor.
That it didn't happen.
No. And he was from Germany. They sent him over here in the early 60s to run the Volkswagen. Mm-hmm. They started a plant in Albany, or a dealership. And he said, this is terrible. He goes, the crooked noses. And I said, what are you talking about? And he says, well, they say that the Germans killed all these crooked nose people, and that never happened. And I said, are you talking about Jewish people? And he said, yeah. And I said, that's a terrible. And he was an older guy. I mean, was he? I said, that's a terrible thing to say. Now, here we are at a wedding reception, a table of eight, but there's a lot of the old timers didn't believe it happened. They just, and it's like over here when, we're talking about Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren and it. I don't think people want to believe it. They just, they don't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it happens, they say, how did this happen? Well, if you weren't paying attention and you didn't speak your mind and do something
right.
about it, why are you blaming, I don't know.
Speaking of public schools, though, recently in the news, there's been a lot of talk about public schools and the lunch shaming, like for kids who have lunch debt or whatever. I guess this one school was like putting stamps on their hand and wristbands and handing them like water with like jelly and butter sandwiches.
Oh my.
And like, so I was thinking about it, and I think immediately what a lot of libertarians would say without thinking about the situation would just be like, well, if they can't pay for it, they shouldn't be provided a lunch because it costs money. I mean, that's what you would initially just reaction mm-hmm. say before you got to think about it. But not shaming. I don't agree with the shaming or whatever.
Right.
But I do agree, lunch, food, that does cost money. But I was thinking about it, and I think libertarians, or at least what I would hope, after you got to sit down and think about it, if you don't just reactionally say, oh, well, it's a lunch, you have to pay for the lunch to get the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's public school, right? We all pay school tax.
Mm-hmm.
So for paying school tax that a school that my kid is forced to go to, or I go to jail, or I have to pay for private school. But the thing is you can pay for private school if you have the money, or you can homeschool if you meet all the criteria and can do it. I can't homeschool, and I definitely can't afford private school. My kid has to go to public school.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, even if you're sending your kid to private school, you still have to pay school tax to that school that mm-hmm. they would otherwise be going to.
Oh yeah, they're district.
So I think side note, and also you don't have school choice yet, where like say you live in Hadley but you want your kid to go to Corinth.
Right.
If you had school choice, you'd be paying taxes to Hadley. If you choose your kid to go to Corinth, yes, you should have to pay for their lunch because you don't pay them school tax.
Right.
But that's not how it works right now. You don't have school choice. They have to go to Hadley. And even if they go to private school, you're still paying taxes for Hadley. So if your kid goes to that public school, you're paying school tax to them. Their lunch should be provided to them. Why? Because you're paying the money for that, mm-hmm. for that school to be there, for your kid to go there, for that food to be there. Why do they then also have to pay lunch?
Right.
Instead, all of this school tax that you're paying is going to different playgrounds and administrators.
See, I don't vote. I never vote on a school budget unless, and it never happens, but unless it calls for eliminating administrative positions. We have too many administrators that are making really big money
for no reason, and to do nothing.
That's right. And if they vote the budget down, what happens? They start to threaten kids' programs, and it's not the right. sports, it's music
and arts or art. And blah blah blah.
And
blah.
I mean, so I don't know. I just, we have too many administrators making too much money.
Right. And so let's get some of them out of there and start right. focusing on quality education.
Right.
And not statist education, a more well-rounded education, yeah. less administrators, less testing, pay for their lunch. And it's hard to wrap your head around as a libertarian to just like give everybody lunch. But if you think about it, we're paying for it. We're already paying for right. it, and it's just going to adding more administrators and to do nothing. It should be going to these kids that are forced to be there, that are forced to be in these prisons for half a day or for like over half a day. Mm-hmm. They should be given a lunch. So I think what it should be is there should be like just a standard lunch of what you would have every day. And then there's option B, which is like a better lunch. That's like, let's just say your standard lunch is like, I don't know, just say a peanut butter jelly sandwich. It right. can be whatever
your sandwich, a piece of fruit,
and some milk.
And milk.
Whatever. So that's your standard lunch you're getting. There's premium option. You can have spaghetti or pizza or whatever it is that day, but that costs money. Mm-hmm. So you have your standard lunch that's provided to you because taxpayers, we pay for your school. Right. We pay your school taxes. They should be giving you a lunch. So you have that. And if the school wants to make money, have a premium lunch option where if your kid wants a different lunch, they can pay for that yeah, second option.
Or you know
option.
Tomorrow there's pizza. Well, then you know ahead of time you can send money in for right. your child to have pizza. And maybe right. that's one day a week that he'll get something different.
Right. So I think there should be standard lunch that's provided. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with this lunch shaming thing. It's absolutely ridiculous. But I just found it as an interesting topic to myself because a lot of people are like, well, this is stupid because they should be provided lunch because so the way the left is taking it is that these families are poor and they live paycheck to paycheck and they might only get one meal a day. And so I'm thinking about that and I'm like, oh, boohoo, victim, blah, blah, blah. They pay for your lunch. Immediately, that's what you think from a libertarian mindset. But then I really broke it down and I was like, actually, from a libertarian mindset, I think what you should be thinking is that, yes, they should get lunch, but not boo-hoo, I'm a victim. Right. More of boo-hoo, I pay you the money to have my kids here. Give them food.
Right.
Because I'm giving you the money for that food. Like,
now, when I went to school, you could have the cafeteria food or you could bring your lunch. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you may not like tuna noodle casserole that they were getting. I mean, you had the lunch menu ahead of time.
Right. Yeah.
So you may not want that. So you brought your lunch, but we certainly didn't have to pay for lunch every day. Like you said, if you wanted something different, like I didn't right. like milk. Okay. So they may
juice.
Have had juice and I,
that's like 50 cents
right,
more
or whatever it was back then, you know, a quarter or whatever you paid for the juice. But I mean, if you wanted, they had a cookie. If you wanted brownies, then you had to pay maybe
right.
10 cents
like
for the brownie.
When Noah wants snack, I give him snack money. When he runs out, I give him more. But like if your kid wants snack, they bring money because they want that extra whatever.
Right.
But
they served a good lunch. I mean, it wasn't like they chintz on just gave you bread and butter and stuff.
Right.
You know?
Like, I don't even really care, like, if it's super healthy. Like, you know, Michelle Obama put that healthy lunch regulation in, which is also stupid. But it's not the schools making kids fat. It's the parents making kids fat.
Right.
But anyway.
No, I know. Well, you know, just another thing on administrators. Not when you went to school, there were probably more because, you know, you're a generation, this last generation. But when I went to school, now our high school was 9th through 12th, okay, and there were quite a few kids in the school, and we had one principal and one vice principal. That was it. We didn't have, like, a principal of education, a principal of
I don't know. I went to a small school, so we also just had a principal, and then I don't even think we had a vice.
No.
We just had principal, and then if he wasn't there, a really higher-up teacher,
right.
It was our tech teacher, would fill in for him.
Oh, okay.
Who would, like, be next in line for principal if anything
were to
happen.
We had a vice principal, and that's who you would go to see. Like, if the teacher sent you to the principal's office, you went to this guy, because he was a mean man. But he also did other work, but, you know, and there were, I mean, my graduating class was almost 400 kids, so you figure there's, you know, five other classes. I mean, you know, like I had two homerooms. Yeah, you know, there were a lot of kids, and you, today there's like for every 10 kids there's a
someone that doesn't have to be there.
Yeah.
Someone that doesn't have to be there. So CNN, I got this article, the public lunch shaming, from them because I was trying to see what they had that I could call out. So CNN did this article that I was reading the lunch shaming about, and they started to make a point. I was hoping they were, it was what I was just talking about, the victim boohoo, whatever. Mm-hmm. They started to make a point. I was hoping would have like just something I could just be like, woo, you got something good this time. And no, they totally missed it. Dropped
they
the ball
never
on
do.
It. But they, this is the quote from them. Most people are living paycheck to paycheck. They get that, and that paycheck is already taxed. They should be getting a free meal because it might be the only meal they get. That's where I got that from. So when I saw that they said, and they get that paycheck that's already taxed, I'm like, oh, are they going to start talking about the taxes?
I know.
And about how we should, they should have lunch because we already pay taxes? And no, they missed it. They started talking about poverty, and they started talking about the victimhood and everything. And I was like,
I know.
I got hopeful, and you didn't follow through again.
They don't. You know why?
No, they
don't.
I don't
talk
ever
about
read
it.
CNN.
No, they just don't want to talk about
no.
it.
No, and so I only go to CNN now and then when I want to find something that's going to give me a lot of time to talk about because I'm just like, you just didn't get it. Just didn't get it. But they went on after that to say, oh yeah, Elizabeth Warren, she wants to provide every parent with child care. They somehow tied that into this, but they like deflected. So let's just talk about this for a second.
Okay.
Provide every parent with free child care. I know there's already like child care subsidization programs, but they're based on income and whatever. And so, I mean, that just incentivizes people who can't afford children to have children. But this, it says every parent with child care. We will have so many children.
Oh, yeah.
So many children. Because not only do families not have to worry about if they don't have enough money for food, because the government's got that. If they don't, not enough money for housing, that's okay, we can take care of that. Not enough money for healthcare, that's okay, we can take care of that too. Not enough money for I don't know, transportation, that's okay, we can take care of that too. Oh, not enough money for childcare. Guess what, we had that covered for certain people, but now let's do it for everybody. A, how much is that going to cost? B, you already want $100 billion for opioid crisis. See, what do you think this is incentivizing here?
Right.
The government is like slowly chipping away at personal responsibility, and it just wants us to be so dependent on them.
But, you know, a lot of that should be done by the state anyway. Why depend on the federal government to run our, you know,
they want,
I mean,
big government.
Well,
that's
exactly
why.
But we need to get more power back into the states, because that's where we have more of a vote, more of a control.
Yeah. But
federal,
yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Can you imagine?
This is always my comment to everything. It's crazy.
I know. No, well, but it is. I mean, a lot of this stuff will never happen. Because
oh, you're
just
not going to get this through.
No.
But just the idea of it, and that people are like, yes. Oh, that's what you want? You want people who can't afford one child to have six because the government can afford to have their six children out of my pocket?
Right. They'll give you anything that you want to have six kids. You'll get free food. You'll get free transportation.
Free housing.
Free
air conditioners.
Right.
You can get free air conditioners in New York.
No, I got to give you... Oh, I know. And you've never seen a homeless person without a cell phone.
Or it's flat screen TV.
But, you know, I work with a fella who didn't have a driver's license because he had it expired and he moved from here from another state. So he took his permit and he got his permit. And now he's got to wait, take the five-hour course that you have to take today. And he's going through that. And he doesn't make an awful lot of money either. But he went to social services because somebody said, go there for a travel voucher. Because he's paying for a cab or taking the bus. And they told him that he's 62. And they said, you're over 60 years old. And you can't get travel vouchers. Because people over 60 really don't have to work, according to the state. And I'm saying to myself...
So you don't want him to contribute to society?
And make a paycheck and pay taxes? I mean, so you're not letting the guy... I mean, he lives in Paulson Spa, and he has to come in, you know, where Geyser Road is. He has to come
there.
It's
just a weird...
And it's like...
That
do they
you
figure,
want him to live off welfare?
I mean, how can you... Well, it's like Social Security. If you take it early... Okay, like at 62, I mean, my generation, 65, is the, you know, like the end. You can take it at 62, 65, or 70, and you get more each period you go if you wait. If you take it at 62, they allow you to make $17,000 a year. Okay, if you make more than $17,000 a year,
you don't get your Social Security.
You pay back a dollar for every two you make.
Right.
So if, let's say, you make $23,000, that's $6,000 over, you owe
$3,000.
So what they're doing is they're penalizing
people for
to
wanting
work.
To work, yeah.
Let's say you're paying taxes on that whole amount of money, and then, you know what I mean? And you're paying taxes on the $23,000, but... That you got to pay back on the gross,
right.
Not the net.
But I mean, income tax in itself decentivizes working.
Well, sure it does.
The income tax goes up when you get overtime. Like, what's the point of working overtime if you're going to tax me more on the more money
that's
I'm
right.
making?
Exactly.
I'm working overtime to get time and a half, not to get time.
Right. And then that takes time away from your family or whatever because
to
you
not
make
even
a
be
commitment.
Worth it.
Right.
Like,
and you
if you
make
don't work enough overtime, it's not worth it.
No, it isn't. And you make a commitment to work overtime to provide more for your family. And if you're, I mean, and they penalize you for it. But yet they want
to
offer free daycare.
To everybody.
To
everybody. Every parent gets free daycare.
Or stay home.
And you get daycare.
Get paid.
You get daycare.
You don't have to work. And we'll pay you. You know?
It sounds, Elizabeth Warren sounds like Oprah.
Yeah.
Politics style. I thought Oprah was running 2020. Isn't that what she said?
Yeah, she's got so much money she'd have to probably pay.
I don't know. All right, that's all I got for today.
That's all we're gonna rant about today.
That's all I got.
Well, next week, something new will happen this week that...
I don't know. I kind of like searching CNN for things. They drop the ball that I can pick it up for them.
Well, exactly. They give you talking points.
Yeah. I was like, what can I talk about today? So I searched CNN while I was tutoring, while he was doing... I had him, like, do a mock Regents exam.
Okay.
So while he was doing that, I was searching, like, things that just happened today. And I got...
It's
a gold mine. There was too many.
That's
too
right.
many.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
The first four I clicked on, I'm like, oh, I'm set for the day.
See, that's how it goes, isn't
it? Yeah. I pick up the ball that they drop.
Well, listen, don't work too hard today. It's Mother's Day.
I'll try not to.
You know? And say hello to everybody.
All right. Until next time.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.